Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Again, that word power. Together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love. Again, the word know here is that deep personal sense of, I've been there, I've done that, I've experienced, I've walked with him, I know something about him that I didn't get from a book. I got it from knowing him. That's something that God wants every person here to experience. And I'll tell you, we can do that. I'm not talking about some grand experience again. I'm talking about walking with him to the point where we can look back and say, he brought me through that. I was in this difficult place, and he brought me through. He was with me all the way, and I can look back and see it. He carried me that one time. I didn't have anything that it took, but here I am. And he was with me, and he showed me his love, and I've experienced something from him I could never have had if I hadn't gone through that. God wants that kind of personal knowledge to be in every one of us, all right? To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love personally that surpasses knowledge. I need something that goes way beyond just knowing the contents of this book. I got to have his love. I mean, think about it. What he's wanting to do is reproduce a people who are motivated by love. Love is the opposite of selfishness. It's where whatever abilities and gifts God has imparted to me belong to you. And whatever the cost, they belong to you, and they need to be given to you. And God wants my heart to be open. I can't do that unless he comes in and does some major changes. But he brings his love. And as John says in 1 John, we love because he first loved us. See, that's how God's love is complete, is when he reveals it to us and we share it with one another. All right? To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I don't know about that. That's just for the special ones. That's for the Pauls and the Peters. And I'll bet you we think like that more than we would dare to say. Oh, we're not quite sure what that means, and how's that going to affect my life. And the devil has so many ways to kind of whisper this and whisper that in our minds. Is this God's will or isn't it? Yeah, I see some heads. This is his will, isn't it? That means it's his will not just for me and a few others. This is his will for you, for every single one of us. He wants us to be filled with all the fullness of God. And I understand this is a process. This is something where we experience him little by little and we grow little by little. I get that part. But God wants us to be filled. We sang songs about that this morning. I want him to fill me, and I want him to become the source of life that's in me. Boy, he's got a job on his hands, but he is up to the job, isn't he? Praise God. But wouldn't it be good if instead of just saying, that's wonderful that Paul prayed that for the people to whom he wrote, but what about me taking that personally and saying, hey, this is God's will. I'm a believer. Why can't I pray this about me? Of course, my brothers and sisters as well. All right? I pray that out of your glory, out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen me with power through his Spirit in my inner being. I need you, Lord. See, that's what's going on. Do we really want him? Are we really reaching out to him? And are we reaching out to him with an expectation? Or are we allowing the devil to kind of undermine our confidence? We're supposed to have confidence that we can come to him. The confidence doesn't come with our qualification. It comes from Him. Entirely, 100%. He's the one who invites. Oh, I wonder how many times the Lord is sitting there saying, I've given you everything. Why are you living in such poverty, such spiritual poverty? I want sons and daughters who participate, who ask me, who want what I have for them. Because I'm freely give it to you, but you need to want it and ask. That's where Paul's going with this. I believe that's where the Lord's going with this. All right? So that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. And I pray that I, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that I may be filled with all, filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then he goes to that awesome passage. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within me. Wouldn't it be nice if we read it that way and took it personally? There's so much of Scripture that God wants us to take personally. I mean, I think of things that he exhorts us to do. Love one another. Can't we say, God, I don't have it in me to do that, but you have told me to do it. I know it's your will. And I get how the Christian life works. It's by grace. You're going to have to help me do whatever there is to do. So I'm asking you, Lord, I ask you to pour your love in my heart and make it possible that I can obey what you say. Can I ask that in confidence and begin to say, thank you, Lord. I know that you're going to answer this prayer because I know it's your will. I don't have to guess about this one. Praise God. That's a simple principle, isn't it? To him that is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, based on what? According to his power that is at work within us. That's the definition of the Christian life. I need his power constantly at work within me, changing me, fixing me, empowering me to be the person he called me to be. But don't I need to be asking him for this? Don't I need to be saying, oh God, you've shown me in your word what you want. And I'm asking you and I'm expecting you to come and to begin and more to change me and help me to be able to do what you told me to do. Praise God. I mean, you can go on through the epistles. How about over in Philippians in the first chapter? Paul says, he talks in verse 3, scriptures we've used so often, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, talk about the hope. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Okay? Now jump down to verse 9. What's he praying? This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Don't we need insight? Don't we need the ability to look beyond the surface and just some, this is how I do stuff, but I don't understand it. God wants understanding. God wants us to be able to understand why things are the way they are and to work with him and to cooperate with him so that we can look at situations and say, you know, I'm able to see this through God's eyes. I'm not looking the way the world sees it. I want to be able to understand things from a spiritual point of view, and God's promised to help me if I just ask him. I'm going to grow in this area, all right? Bound more and more in knowledge, what we know, but depth of insight, understanding. You see the same thoughts that he had in Ephesians. Why? So that you may be able to discern what is best. You want to be able to recognize when something is of the Lord and when it's not? How many times are we guessing and hoping? God wants to build our knowledge and our sensitivity in him to the point where we can know. We can have a greater wisdom and insight. The devil's not so easy. We're not so easily fooled by the devil because he tricks us of wanting stuff that we want carnally. God's setting us free, isn't he? That's his heart. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. He uses the same kind of thought that Jesus did when he talked about the vine and the branches. I've got to be connected to a source of life, and when I am and I allow that life to flow into me, fruit's going to happen. Things that I couldn't ever do or be are going to happen. Folks, I pray. I see the need in my own heart. God, do all this in me. I need you. I need you to change me. I need you to empower me. I need you to motivate me. I need all of this. I need everything that happened at the cross to start happening in me. Well, what good is it? What good is theology without reality? Thank God. All right? To the praise and the glory of God. So this is Paul's prayer. So this is my prayer, that my love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that I may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the praise of God. Would that be a good prayer to pray? Yeah. Do you actually expect him to answer it? That's the point, because we know it's his will. And we know if we pray according to his will, he's going to hear us. Praise the Lord. Simple principle, isn't it? That we learn to take the things that we know are his will, and we can take them to him with an expectation. I don't have to say, do I really qualify? Are you really sure? Is this about me or is this about somebody else? Oh, stop listening to the lies and the whispers of the evil one. Praise God. Look at Colossians. I don't think this needs to go on a whole lot longer, but anyway, this was a group of people to whom Paul had never met. But he had heard about them, and he had this burden in prison, but he had a burden to be able to share the glorious riches of Christ with them. And so he's always thanking God in verse 3 and praying for them because he's heard of their faith and so forth. But then he comes down in 9 and you find out what he's praying. For this reason, because of we've heard about your faith and we're thankful about it. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Okay, so what's this prayer? We continually, that's an interesting word. Prayer is not just a passing event and then we've done. This is a sense of relationship where we're talking and we're lifting our hearts and there's a constant sense of, I need this, but you're my answer. And I'm trusting in you. I'm drinking in. I'm connected to the vine. I'm opening the channels and letting the life flow in. Okay? So we continually ask God to do what? To fill you with the knowledge of his will. Wouldn't that be nice? To have a sense, to be able to have this ability in us to know what his will is.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.